We hope this message from Word of Life Church and Pastor Brian Zahn is a blessing to you.
My Good Friday meditation. It's not really a sermon, it's a meditation. My Good Friday meditation is entitled Tears. You don't have to look hard in the Bible to find plenty about tears. The Bible is a tear-stained book from Genesis to Revelation. A lot of tears. So if we're thinking about tears, we might call to mind that prophet who was known as the weeping prophet, Jeremiah. Jeremiah wept as he prophesied to an impenitent people, trying to call them to repentance that they might be spared from the destruction that they were pulling down upon their own heads, but they wouldn't repent, and Jeremiah wept over them. And Jeremiah wept as he penned his lamentation, as he looked upon the destruction of Jerusalem. So Jeremiah is a prophet of tears, and it's to his lamentation that I look on this Good Friday for a text. Lamentations 1:16. For these things I weep, my eyes flow with tears. If the Bible is a tear-stained book, and it is, Good Friday was baptized in tears. And we should not be too quick to turn away from those tears. We live in a superficial age. Genuine public displays of grief and sorrow make us ever so uncomfortable. We don't want that. And so we prefer our religion saccharine and sweet. Happy clappy. Easy cheesy cotton candy Christianity. The problem is it can't really help. It's just a bit of splendor to make things artificially sweet. It was Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the great theologian who died at the hands of the Nazis, who said only the suffering God can help. And that really is the truth. We don't need a God that is aloof. We don't need a God that expects us to be happy-clappy all the time. We need a God that knows what it is to suffer and can be there with us. If we rush past the pain of Good Friday in a hurry to get to the joy of Easter Sunday, we trivialize everything that Good Friday and Easter Sunday are about. When we sentimentalize the tears of Good Friday, without meaning to do so, what we end up doing is trivialize Easter Sunday. The tears of Good Friday were not cheap tears of religious sentimentality. Nothing about Good Friday as it unfolded felt religious or spiritual or sentimental. I guarantee you there was no one standing around saying, oh, there goes Jesus dying for the sins of the world. That just blesses me so much. There was none of that. No one had that thought. The tears of Good Friday were those bitter, salty tears of abject horror and utter devastation. Everywhere we look on Good Friday, tears are falling from the eyes of those who are witnesses to what is happening. And it's only as we are willing to plumb the depths of the sorrow of Good Friday that the transcendent joy of Easter Sunday comes to have any real meaning. And so let's just take a few moments and let's look at the tears of Good Friday. Let's name some of them. Let's find some of the tears in some of the eyes of some of the witnesses. Let's begin with Mary Magdalene and her tears over injustice. Mary Magdalene. She was one of the Galilean women who followed Jesus. Jesus had set her free from her demons. She followed him and she loved him. And above all, she knew that Jesus was a righteous man. She knew that. And that religion and empire, Caiaphas and Pilate, could conspire together to execute a righteous man like that. Her tears, for whatever else they were certainly tears of rage, of injustice. There's something so wrong with this world that the principalities and powers can do that to a righteous man. And certainly those tears fell from the eyes of Mary Magdalene. And then there's the tears of Simon Peter. Tears over personal failure. Peter had promised that he would stand by Jesus no matter what. If everybody else failed, Peter said, "Jesus, you can count on me. I got your back. I'll be there no matter what." Jesus said, "Before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times." Peter said, "No." But he did. One, two, three times, and then he heard the rooster crow, and the Bible says that Peter went out and he wept bitterly. Well, that was in the middle of the night between Thursday and Friday. We're not told any more about Peter's whereabouts until Sunday. So we're just left to our imagination, but I can't imagine that anything got better when he learned that Jesus was now dead. Because now he couldn't make up for it. He had failed in a way that couldn't be undone. It had all gone wrong. I mean, it was the worst possible ending. He failed Jesus, and then Jesus died. And he can't make it up. He's just left with that. What bitter tears those must have been. And then there's the tears of John. Tears for the death of a friend. John was, you know, the lone disciple at the cross. He's the only disciple who saw Jesus dead. I want to say it even more blunt. He's the only disciple who saw Jesus as a corpse. He was there. Yes, he saw Jesus crucified, and he heard Jesus speak from the cross, but he saw Jesus die. He saw Jesus dead. He saw Jesus as a corpse. He's the one that gives us the record of how after death his side was pierced by the Roman soldier and blood and water came out. You have to remember, these are young men. Jesus was in his early 30s. John probably in his early 20s. You ever looked at the corpse of a friend? It's so strange. It's how can they not be alive? They're dead. It's always grievous, but there's something even more tragic when it's someone that's young. I don't know if you've ever seen the corpse of a friend who was young and died. There's this absolute finality and hopelessness to it. And so John sheds the tears as he weeps over the death of a friend. There's the tears of Cleopas, maybe not as well known to you. Who was Cleopas? Well, he was the uncle of Jesus. He's the brother of Mary. So he's the uncle of Jesus. We know that Cleopas, 3 days later, was still so depressed that people could just see it in his face. And if you ask him, "Why are you so sad?" he would say, "We were counting on Jesus. We really put all of our hope that he was the one that was going to redeem Israel. We thought that finally the kingdom of God had come. That finally we were coming to the end of all of these tyrannies and all of these systems of injustice and oppression. And we thought finally the kingdom of God was coming. And we thought that Jesus was going to be the king, the Messiah, the one that would bring the kingdom of God. And then they killed him. Our own rulers, the ones that should have known better, they conspired to have him executed. No doubt Cleopas wept, and it's those tears, the death of a dream. I mean, when you've invested all of your hope in something, and you really believe it's going to happen, you're right on the edge. It's going to happen any day now. Jesus is just about to become king. And then in a matter of hours, it spins completely out of control, and Jesus is dead. And Cleopas sheds the tears over the death of a dream. What about the tears of Mary? Tears of a mother. Are there any tears more bitter than those? Whatever else Jesus was, Messiah, Son of God. And Mary knew that and believed all that. But for whatever else Jesus was, Jesus to her was also her son. And she saw her son executed and die the horrible death of the cross. And she sheds those tears. I think we can say that all the sorrows of the world coalesce at the cross. Every kind of sorrow you can imagine in one way or another was there. The cross was kind of like this magnet for sorrow. And every conceivable kind of sorrow coalesces at the cross. There's one more person who sheds tears I want to mention. The tears of Jesus himself. Tears of a human. I know this much. To be human is to weep. I'm not sure exactly what it means, but we're born crying. Christmas Eve, we were here talking about Emmanuel, God with us. The Word made flesh. God has joined us, and He does. In Christ, God joins us. He's with us in birth. Hark, the herald angels sing. He's with us in life. But Jesus is also with us in death. And during his life, Jesus sheds tears. He weeps at the grave of his friend Lazarus. He weeps over Jerusalem earlier that week. He weeps with strong tears in the Garden of Gethsemane. Emmanuel is God with us in life, in birth. He's with us in birth, in life, and in death. And whatever it means for a human being to die, whatever it means for a human being to die, God in Christ has done. Very often, one of the most potent, deeply felt arguments against God is people point to the various sorrows and tragedies and sufferings that is the lot of human beings, and they say, where is God? Where is God? Where is God in the tsunami? Where is God in the earthquake? Where is God in the genocide? Where is God? And those are not unjust questions, and they don't yield to easy answers. But I've learned to say this much. He's there, right in the thick of it. Because we as Christians confess that God in Christ was crucified. And that however else you want to deal with the problem of pain and suffering, God is not aloof to it. He's not aloof from it. He's not above it. He's right in the middle of it. He has joined us. He is God with us in injustice, in sorrow, in pain, in torture, in death. We often speak of Jesus dying for us, and that's true. He dies for us. He dies for our sins. But he also dies with us. Whatever it means for a human being to die, Jesus has done that. You've buried a friend. You've buried a family member. You've buried a loved one. Jesus has done that. He's been dead. He has died. He knows what that is. You will not be alone in death because Jesus is with us. Not only in birth and life, he's with us in death. Well, these are the tears that we can talk about. Mary Magdalene's tears over injustice and Simon Peter's tears over failure and John's tears for the death of a friend and Cleopas shedding tears over the death of a dream. His mother Mary shedding the tears of a mother. Jesus himself shedding the tears of a human. But the question before us tonight is, can these tears be redeemed? Jesus shares our tears. Yes, he does. But can they be wiped away? Can what we sow in tears be reaped in joy? Well, that these tears can be redeemed is the hope of Easter. But that's not for us to talk about tonight. Tonight is for tears. Tonight is for us to look full in the face of the man of sorrows acquainted with grief. So I'd like you to stand with me. Many of you, most of you, were here on Christmas Eve as we sang the carols and rejoiced that the light of the world had been born at Bethlehem. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it, we declare. And we thank God that at last into this darkened world, the light of truth and the light of love and the light of salvation has come. And so we light our candles. I'd like to do that again tonight. Born in Bethlehem, the light of the world. He grows up. And many learn to rejoice in that light. As he preaches, as he teaches throughout Galilee, many learn to rejoice in that light. But now that light is nailed to a tree. Let's think about that.